If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix Is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix Is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Abductions, car chases, shootings, butt plugs, and babies. We saw 50 Shades Freed, so you know what that means. We are live in our L.A. home here at the Largo Theater at the Coronet. Boy, oh boy, it is a night. The third part of the 50 Shades trilogy. What's happening in the wonderful world of Anastasia and Christian Grey? Well, I'll tell you, not much. They're married. People are out to get them. They know immediately who it is. And every problem is solved quicker than when they say it. They say the problem, it is solved. It is like mini episodes of Entourage. It all builds to a very satisfying conclusion, and it does include a post-credit scene. I hope you all watch that. Now, tonight, we are gonna break it down, but first, please welcome my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Largo? That's right. Night 3. Paul, you just said about this movie that it all ends very satisfyingly, and I have to disagree. I'm furious that this has happened to me. These 3 nights have been a harrowing descent into, I don't even know, not sexy, unhorny hell. That's what hell is to me.
I was eating a burrito and watching a scene of people fucking and being like,
I folded laundry and washed dishes. Two people fucking in a sex dungeon room, which should be something it should be a keyword search that I do at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Now,
I'm watching it broad daylight and I'm like, oh, this soup really caked onto this pan.
Now, what I will say
is this. I'm going harder at the pan than he's going at her. What is this?
Here's what I will say. Was this a tough watch? Yes, it was. But when they get to that Fast and Furious montage.
Oh my God.
At the end, I cried. And I was sad to let these people out of my lives. For 3 days, what? I've lived in their world.
Did they?
And even though nothing has happened, I wanted more.
I feel like the events of the movies take place in 3 days.
Oh, easily.
Like, I feel like if you told me the entirety of them meeting to them at the end of the movie with Teddy, the child's name is Teddy.
Well, I mean, yes.
Maybe it's 2 weeks.
Well,
maybe.
Well, here's what I'll say.
Including gestation and birth.
She's got something that happened that, yeah, goes very quickly. Here's what I'll say. We know from the second movie that she has a job for less than 2 weeks. That she starts. So we know that that's a marker of time. Then she gets proposed to. It seems like she may have gotten married the day after she got proposed
to. Days. Within days.
Days.
They have a world-spanning honeymoon.
Yes.
Right? And that was last night or tonight? No, that's tonight.
That's tonight.
I'm so unwell.
No, I am also now getting blurred.
I'm in a, like, fugue state. I spent so much time with these two people that I don't know if I'm in their life or they're in mine.
That's what I felt like. When this ended, I felt like, no, what will I do?
This is like the Matrix, the worst version of the Matrix. I think I might be a creation of E.L. James. You know what I'm afraid of? The insanity that's on screen is now normalized to me.
That's what I think, too. I think I've watched so much.
And I'm like, well, of
so
course,
much.
Get his fuck jeans out. And then and I'm like, wait a minute.
This movie.
I gotta remember that these are fuck jeans. What are we doing?
This movie ends with the light placing and smoothing out of fuck jeans. Like, that is one of the final moments. Like, well, get his fuck jeans out. Uh-huh. Honey, time to fuck me. Like, it's a very weird, weird ending. I have thoughts on the ending. I have a lot of big thoughts. But tonight, we have a very special guest. She is the host of her own podcast, which is fantastic. They talk about celebrity autobiographies. They talk about reality TV. The podcast is called Glamorous Trash. She also has a book coming out called, I shouldn't be telling you this, you can pre-order right now. Please welcome Chelsea Devantes. Welcome. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you. Thank you.
Also, we're so sorry.
I accept. I accept. Although I came so hard today. I'm so tired. So tired for this podcast. I was hearing you talk about the timeline.
Yes.
I also want to point out that when he meets her, she's a college senior.
Yes.
So this woman is like 20 years old.
But he's 27.
Yes, yes. But...
And is.
He also turns 28 in movie two.
In movie two. Okay, but that means like at the end when she has all these babies, 20 at most.
21.
21.
You think?
Maybe.
I mean, what 22. She does, I mean, what she does, she, I mean, she is a fresh out of college student who within the course of 3.5 weeks
max. She's
has sex for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gets out of a relationship, goes back into a relationship, gets her dream job, gets almost raped at her dream job, gets her boss fired, takes over her boss's job, gets married to the person that she broke up with, and then is chased, kills somebody, or hurts them badly, and then has two babies.
Two babies.
She also...
That's a lot.
She also evades... the security detail that's been assigned to her, takes $5 million out of the bank, like it goes through, like you said, a Fast and Furious style car chase where apparently everybody in Seattle drives an Audi. That's just what we're doing. And I was like, at what point? We've spent three movies now with Taylor and the security detail, mm-hmm. and they are worthless.
No, this is the
worst. They do zero. Nothing.
They are so bad.
Justice for Taylor.
They are so bad. The security detail in this movie is so bad that when they capture a person that is trying to abduct her in her own home, they're like, we don't have any handcuffs.
Yeah.
We don't know how to restrain this
person.
We
don't know what to do.
No, zip ties. Our hands aren't enough to hold them.
Yes.
Owie.
Both Anastasia Steele, again, a name I will never think is a real name. It makes it only seem more like this is Skinamax, but both she and Mia, the sister, are able to just effortlessly evade their security detail, and that is chilling.
Well, I do want to I want to just check in with you, Chelsea, because, you know, obviously we've watched all three. Just talk us through where you came in on the 50 Shades world. Like, did you read the book?
Yes. Yeah. So about 9 years ago, I had a feeling I'd be on this show, and I was like, I should read this book. So I did. I read the original book. Did you guys read?
I read pieces of it.
You read pieces of it. Okay.
I owned it.
So I'm a writer.
I support publishing. Independent publishers.
That's right. Yes. So we're both writers, and I read the book, but I'm not one of those writers who cares. I'm not like, oh, grammar, or like,
yeah, yeah.
Like I'm not like that. And that book, the sentence structure, the grammar, the commas was obscene to the point where I think E.L. James was like, every comma is a dick.
I think she...
Comma, 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 comma.
Like I think she calls them commas.
Commas.
Last show of the week, everybody. Last
that's
show.
That's the shirt. That's
it.
Shirt.
That's
it's not
going to
get better.
You're done.
That's it. That's the peak for me.
Well, she also calls, you know, when she's writing, she's like, he touched my down there.
Yes.
I'm like,
wait,
you're gonna.
How are we just finding this
oh,
out?
Oh, no, well.
My down there.
No.
Yes, and she also refers to herself as her inner goddess, right? Inner
yes.
goddess is a
She's
big
like,
inner goddess I can kind of understand, but touching your down there is too much an immature, childish,
well,
like, way to talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, but, you know, she's the other really important part of the book. I don't know, this blows my mind. She didn't have a laptop.
Wait.
Do you remember this?
No.
So Anastasia's in college.
Oh, I thought you meant E.L. James.
Maybe.
Oh, all right,
she wrote it longhand.
By the way, that would make sense. Like, I went to the library. I used their... I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yes.
No. Anastasia Steele, she's like in college, and she's like, and Christian Grey's like, here, you need a laptop. She's like, what?
In these movies, he's constantly gifting her tech. A phone.
Yeah, but I'm worried about her. I'm worried about E.L. James, honestly. Have we checked on her?
Well, I mean, E.L. James, like, I feel like we were talking about this last night. There is something very, like this movie is like, ooh, I like to walk on the wild side, which means breaking a man of the habits that he has, marrying him, and having kids. It's like, it presents like, ooh, but then it's also super vanilla.
This is our sexiest book, and she's like, be a husband and make, I'm a mom now.
Yeah.
I was like,
I'll have as many kids as you want.
It seems as though, and because I did not process these books at all, and what I understood was that it was this incredibly sexual descent into this world of BDSM and all sorts of other kinks and so forth. And then it is so vanilla inside of it. There's like, there'll be handcuffs and then just missionary fucking.
Yes. Yes.
I think in this world.
No long languid teasing. There's nothing.
Well, the book, I have to say, the books are a lot hotter and a lot dirtier than, which is sad because they're fine. Yeah. But in the movie...
Should we do the books? How did this get written?
The scene that crushed
me... The answer
me
is with one hand. I still got it.
There was more than commas.
You're ready to go. He's ready to go. It's a Friday night.
Do you remember the scene when he's like, you hung out with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not allowed. And I'm like, this is, again, what's hot to us, whatever. And he's like, so you're going to be punished. And then he pulls out a vibrator half the size of the microphone. And he's like,
bring.
She's like,
it,
no!
It makes the same sound. The same sound as a lightsaber in Star Wars.
Yeah. And then he's just like, there's a slow shot of the vibrator, and then they cut away from that, and then he's just like.
No, what was so crazy about that scene was, and again, we've talked about sex a lot in these films, but that was to me the most graphic scene because it was like in between her underwear. It was in there.
But it was so small.
Yeah, well, yes.
Like, what? This is 50 Shades of Grey. You only got the Walmart thumb vibrator you buy in secret when you're checking out.
I swear to God, it's the base of an electric toothbrush.
Yes.
It's not even a vibrator. It's the thing you grab to be like, I don't know, maybe this?
But what I love about that scene is like, and this is the thing, Christian Grey is like super redeemable at points and then goes right back to being a fucking asshole. You find out in that scene, like, he brought her into the red room to torture her for promising one thing and then doing another. And she's like, ho, ho. Red, she calls out her safe word.
This is the first and only time she uses red. Safe word.
And it was, I just want to make it very clear, it's because he put the vibrator up to her three times and then pulled away and she's like, red.
Right.
And she's I almost came and then I did it, you monster.
Yeah.
That was as rough, that's as rough as it gets.
Yeah.
Almost coming. Yes. Blue balls.
You're teasing me too much, Red.
But then,
no one wants to be teased during sex.
But then you have this moment where she's like, I can't believe you did this. You used the red room to prove your point. And he's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, let's get back to the mystery. So who do you think is after us? And I was like,
and as long as it's not Kim Basinger, because she's not in the movie, we can keep going.
We set up a villain in the first two movies. That is simply not there in the third.
She's a text message.
Yeah.
Oh, right. One text
message. She sends a text message.
I kept waiting for her to arrive.
But and then this is...
Who do we get? HR Liz. I was like, Liz from HR, what are you doing here?
Well, this is the craziest thing. This movie.
She's here to conduct an exit interview.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family, we had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This movie is constantly setting up villains and premises that they don't pay. It's like they set up this whole thing that Anastasia's friend Kate, I have a lot to say about Kate, is nervous.
Oh, also, thank God Kate got engaged.
Well, but by the way, Kate gets engaged. It's like, I think my boyfriend's cheating on me. Then they set up Anastasia seeing like this person touching his face, and then he proposes to her, and it's like, was he?
Yeah, or and not? Then she's like, he's like, I asked my ex to help me pick out the ring. So was and she's like, okay, and then that's it.
It's gonzo. And boy, I hope someday I am in love and I have a relationship and I can get down on one knee in the middle of a crowded Aspen nightclub and in front of strangers and some family and friends propose to that lucky gal and then dance the night away.
It is bonkers. Now,
Kate should say no.
Yeah, but and we never know what happened with her. And wait, just real quick. The movie begins at their wedding. Yeah. And again, this whole thing was written for women. Women are the demo. The wedding's hideous. I was like, you had one job. But give us a nice wedding. No. Yeah. No, disgusting the wedding.
And they want to get out of the wedding so quick. It's like they don't give you any pomp and circumstance. Like,
they don't
we're
even
out.
It's not even a scene. It's
no
a montage.
Cake cutting. It's
like
a montage.
The opening credits.
Although I did see that Jose is working the wedding. Jose is her photographer friend who took a lot of like photos of her in the second one.
Okay.
And at one point, Jose's just running around with the camera. He's like, you hired Jose. Your buddy shouldn't be taking the pictures. Let Jose enjoy the party.
That's not, I'm glad he was there. Kate is in a really ugly dress. I was like, that's rude of you. But
they only had 2 days to get their outfits.
You're right. But did you notice that the wedding ended at what appeared to be 11 a.m.?
Yeah.
It was early.
It was. Oh, yeah. Sun was like at its peak
when
and they were like
running
out.
When they get to the airplane, they've already changed and it's not even noon.
No. Like,
you know, they're gone.
It's so interesting. Like the scale and scope in the second movie, there's a not sexy masquerade ball with hundreds of extras and massive set piece and blah, blah, blah. The wedding should have had that kind of feel, and there isn't anything. This movie takes place in small rooms with just a handful of... I almost feel like this is like an indie film version of the movie.
I thought at a certain point, the way they started filming it, like that we're never going to see people. I'm like, oh, they're getting married by themselves. But then when they escape the wedding, like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want to share you with these people.
Our loved ones who you are not allowed to see anymore.
Yeah.
Or I'll fuck you in the red room.
It's so bizarre.
Clumsily and boringly. These people are bad at sex, period.
Very bad.
I did appreciate that this movie takes the bold choice to have her start going down on him. Because his movie is just like, I'm going down. Like, he's always starting at the bottom
covered
and working his way
in
up.
Ice cream. Covered in ice cream. You are gonna smell like bad milk tomorrow. You're spoiling as we speak.
Can I tell you my I was watching the movie, also folding laundry. Weird. My husband came in and he was like, oh my God, so there's like cum all over her leg? And I was like, no, it's a product placement for Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's was in the last movie, too.
Yeah. Well, and he just put some on her leg and, like, eats it, and she came from it, and I was like...
She's always coming. She comes a lot.
I do like that for her.
But this is what I like about her is, like, that's her attitude is someone's always coming because she, like, even when they pull up to a plane, she's like, you own this? That's what she says in every movie.
Oh, yeah.
You have this. She's always surprised. Have they never spoken? Like they just they,
you know what, they haven't,
literally have never had a conversation.
They don't have real conversations. We know.
It's like The Bachelor.
We know this, because they are already married and have not had a conversation about whether they want children or not.
Yes.
She was like, you want kids, right? husband? Wait, how did that not come up?
Oh, and he's like, no, I hate children. How could you do this to me?
She's like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
That pregnancy scene, when she reveals that, he gets so mad.
He's very dark.
And what I love about this movie is that, like, those are the moments where they go there, where it's like, I don't want kids because kids are going to take you away from me.
Yeah.
I was like, oof, that's a tough thought to, like, sit with.
Again, those things make me feel like both of these people have the emotional intelligence of, like, 16-year-olds.
Yes.
Yeah. They are children, even though they're adults.
They're acting, two people under...
No, she's a child still.
They're acting like children.
Yes. They're two people under 30. They barely got their shit figured out. I mean,
so if you're under 30, go fuck yourself, says Paul Scheer.
All I'm saying is this. You don't want to be held accountable for the decisions you make before 25.
No, no.
That's a terrible place to be.
Oh, you shouldn't be allowed to get married under 30.
Yeah.
I like that as a rule.
And if you're over 50, it's cool. You can still get married someday.
My favorite scene that's not in the movie, but I wanted to see, is like they go to France. They're having this beautiful, you know, French honeymoon. And at one point they go like, does he have to be with us? And they cut to Taylor, the bodyguard. Taylor getting a little bit
Here's
more...
Here's the update. No.
Yeah.
He's fucking useless.
But what I loved about Taylor was like, at one point he's like, let's go back to the boat. And then they get on jet skis and they jet ski off. And I'm like, just thinking, I wanted the camera to pan over and just see like Taylor on his own little jet ski. Like, like, because he's got to get back to the boat too.
In the scene, where... where they're racing Audis,
where it becomes Fast and Furious.
When they drive away from the new house, and Christian is like, you drive.
Because you know? she told that architect to go fuck herself.
Yeah. Can we play the whole scene?
Yeah,
great.
The
and then I'll say my dumb bit afterwards.
This architect scene is one of my favorite things. All right,
she was a demure Mormon virgin, I believe, 8 days prior to this.
Yes, yes.
She's becoming as evil as Christian Grey in this scene.
She has surpassed.
Please stop speaking to my husband as if I weren't here.
Anna. I have designed many prestige projects.
You may call me Mrs. Grey. And this is not a prestige project. This is going to be our home. So, if you want this job, I suggest you stop making eyes at my husband and keep your hands to yourself. Or you can go and climb back into your shit-colored car and drive back to Seattle. It's up to you.
Look, I'm sorry, Mrs. Grey, but I would never... It won't happen again.
Is everything okay?
What? Yeah.
I don't even understand that term.
We were just discussing an alternative approach.
Like, what is that term? Like, what is that term where she's like, oh. Like, why is she going all demure in that moment?
Oh, that woman's acting is in the same movie as Marsha Gay Harden.
Yeah. I fucking, the movie's insults are so ridiculous.
Shit-colored car.
That's actually her best line of dialogue.
Oh, 100% it is.
Yeah. By the way, they have more chemistry than Anastasia and Christian Grey. All I want is to watch them kiss.
Yes.
That was hot. That's red hot, that scene.
But I will say this. It was confusing because when she popped on screen, I was like, wait a second. Is that Kate? Because which blonde is who? This is a movie where these are three different characters.
What is so crazy is that one of them is Rita Ora.
Yes, yes.
Like, how did you make Rita Ora look like Kate? Oh, no.
Fine.
Were you coming?
Yeah, I just came.
I mean, this...
You said Rita Ora, and I was like...
I mean, it's like, if you take Rita Ora out of the equation, like, just keep the two. I was confused.
It's it is consistently confused.
Yes.
Yes.
Because they're all intermixed
and
around.
And also, Casey Dutton, the brother, his name? I can't remember his name. He's Casey Dutton
Jack?
Of Yellowstone.
Elliot. Okay.
Elliot gets engaged to Kate during this, but we then see him on the street talking to the architect.
Which I thought was
that
like
was
maybe...
That was the architect.
That was the architect.
So, what?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I'm like, why is the architect there? And then I'm like,
their world is so small.
I thought he was as confused as I am. And he's like, oh, that's my girlfriend. And it's like, no, oh, that's my ex-girlfriend.
That's what she should have said when Kate is like, I don't know, he might be cheating on me with the architect. She should have been like, oh, he probably thinks the architect is you.
Okay, but then that means the architect is like, I'll fuck you, I'll fuck you. Like, the architect is fucking brothers?
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand what the architect wanted from anything, really.
She wanted to make a nice home.
Yeah.
Prestige. A prestige project. And, you know, architects, the one thing that architects love is taking down a house with a lot of character and destroying, making it like into a steel.
A modern home.
When they leave the house with that, after that scene, they leave the house and he's like, you handled her so well. Why don't you drive us home or whatever?
Yeah.
And then she peels out and she's driving Fast and Furious style. So Anastasia Steele is able to shake the tail that is Taylor and the security detail, but somehow HR Liz is unshakable. This is a woman who's driving her personal car. And is, again, the head of HR for a publishing house. And she is better at tailing them all over the city, from the woods to downtown.
But my question is
this. And the security team is like, we lost her, we lost you. We don't know where we are. I think we're in Canada. Uh-oh, boss. It's fucking Keystone Cops over here.
Well, this is where the movie makes no sense, because they're being tailed. But to what end? Like,
for
they
what,
just
yeah.
go back and forth to home and some other... They're going to be home in a little
bit. Also, like, the guy in the end who's going to hold her up for... Not the money, so I don't know what. He's not out of jail yet. So Liz is just...
tailing her to keep tabs on her for him?
But they know that they always go home. They always go home.
Guys, I didn't make the movie.
Okay.
Don't be mad at me.
The other thing about... This is the because again, that thrillers are based in the idea that, like, who could it be? There's a mystery. On the first day of their honeymoon, they're like, Mr. Gray, there's a server fire. And here's the footage. And then immediately Anastasia's like, oh, that's my old boss.
Yeah.
Like,
how are they immediately not?
And they're like, oh yeah, it is.
How are they not on this guy? This guy has been a creep since the last movie. The movie, it's as if they said in the first movie, you know what? This movie needs villains. So in movie two, they're like, here's four villains. And then in this movie, they're like, JK, just one villain? Oh, but a secret villain is now revealed, which is HR Liz. Somebody who's, I think, been an ally this whole time.
But also, it doesn't make sense because they don't reveal what the... They capture and kill the villain. And then it's like an epilogue. It's like, you know why he was doing that? And it's like, oh, it was like, and there's like credits. It's like,
So I thought maybe you, because I didn't watch movie number two.
No, of course.
Because I don't hate myself.
Yeah. They go down
so
very
smooth. I thought maybe I missed something
you
where
didn't.
I was,
no.
They never reveal it.
He knows that guy?
So at the, like maybe 15 minutes in or something happened and I was like, oh, wait a minute. And I called it in a way that I think is I'm punching it up into a better movie, because Christian Grey doesn't remember so much of his young life. I thought Jack was going to be revealed to be his brother. His brother.
I thought he was his brother till this moment.
Yeah. Boy.
Right.
So he's not.
It would be a better movie. They shared a foster home for a brief period of time.
And then basically someone came to adopt. Like, he's
Marcia
mad.
Gay Harden came and adopted Christian Grey.
And he's mad that, like, they picked him over him, which is like almost like a puppy litter. Like,
what makes that so insane? Because wasn't that in Detroit?
Yes.
That's in Detroit.
Okay.
Anastasia Steele gets a job at SIP, the publishing house in Seattle. Jack is her boss, has no connection yet to Christian Grey. Christian Grey then buys the publishing company. So for this dude, Jack, all of a sudden...
His foster brother comes and buys his publishing house.
Yes. Yes.
The coincidence.
Well, that's only later. Like, I would say this. His long play is this. Okay. I'm going to become a famous publisher. I got that. And then I'm going to wait to... Like, because for all of this to work...
It doesn't. No. It has to occur to him only when he realizes that his assistant is dating his ex-rival.
I thought the plan was longer. Like, I thought he was like, I know his type. and eventually he'll find her. If I'm in the right position to hire her, then I'll get her. Because he's got a long plan, because even for her to get that interview, to get there, like, there's no, like, and then he's at the party. There's so many ways
also,
of him, yeah.
I know his type. A girl with medium brown hair, kind of normal.
Well, here's the... Here's the
He'll
wild,
never be able
here's
to resist
the wild
this
reveal in the second movie. The wild reveal in the second movie is that all of the women that Christian Grey, he has had 15 women in the Red Room, and that all of them look like his dead mother, including Anastasia Steele. He's working some sort of
mediocre brunette fuckhouse.
But, and again, and I'll bring this up in every episode, he is also dealing with trauma because he was raped by Kim Basinger when he was 15.
That's right.
So
okay.
He's also...
While she was, quote, unquote, teaching him how to fuck.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Because I was going to say, rape feels like a word that you've chosen.
Yes,
and the book
have...
was like, it was hot.
Yeah, yeah. They never say it, but people are like, that
it's
is...
It's true.
That.
It is. It's They're definitively like, rape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
he was
no
15
question.
Years old.
She's a pedophile.
Yeah, but she's also his good friend, and he doesn't see any problem with it.
Not at all, and he's still in contact.
As a matter of fact, in a time of need, he's like, well, I should go talk to that person.
And he doesn't think his wife should have any problem with it. I told you, she's just a friend.
We're just friends. I'm just friends with my former pedophile rapist.
And
get
yes,
over it.
I own her blow dry bar, but that's not a big deal. She's
both
very
of them
talented.
A good investment.
Both of them are so jealous. Childishly jealous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like about casual experiences or his isn't so casual, but they're so like fly off the handle jealous.
Oh yeah.
In a way that I'm like, again, they're just children, so that they are so immature, so that then when it is them fucking, I'm like, I don't want
to. Maybe we shouldn't. Wait,
it's too earnest, it's too something. Yeah.
Yeah, I have another question. Okay, so Mia is his sister though, right?
Adopted sister.
He is adopted.
What? He's adopted.
Right, so but then she came from the foster home?
No.
So then
I think Casey Dutton, Elliot.
Yeah.
Mia and Elliot, I assume, are the biological, although it's never been answered. Maybe all the kids are adopted. Who knows?
Yeah. They're all adopted. They're all adopted. Okay.
And she's from a different, right. I really love the theme in this movie.
Thank you. They're all adopted.
Someone's on it. I also really love the theme in this movie where they're like, and why is everyone bad and gross? They were adopted.
Well, no, the most damning line in this movie, and I wrote it down because it was like, it really bummed me out, because there's a moment where it's revealed that Jack is mad that that family picked Christian instead of him.
Okay.
Right? And yeah. She was like, I know you, and you would never be a psychopath like this guy. And it's like, so she's basically saying, like,
it's nature nurture.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not saying it the right way.
Neil James isn't interested in interrogating any of what you're talking about.
Right.
She's interested in butt plugs.
Right. Right. Well, that's like
full
the
stop.
Movie one sets up like, you'll never put anything in my butt, and movie three is like, I'm okay with it.
No, movie one is you'll
arc.
Never put anything in my butt, and movie three is like, ooh.
But I guess. Like, I guess what I'm just dealing with at the end is like, there's no sympathy for this guy being angry, or like Christian Grey got brought into an insane life. And I could see the jealousy, and she's like, no, he would always have been a fucking psychopath. But Christian Grey is also kind of
psychopath.
A fucking psychopath. Like, they both aren't well people. They cut out a scene where Christian Grey starts beating everybody up in that Aspen bar. Like, that's in the movie. It's like, he's not well.
He's not a well
She's
man.
She's like, he's not as good as you. It's like, you ain't that good, buddy.
When the scene opens and we later find out she is with her gynecologist, I, for the first 5 or 6 seconds or whatever, was like, thank God she's seeing a therapist.
Yes, me too.
Finally, these maniacs have decided to enlist a mental health professional. And instead, the woman's like, you're pregnant.
But it also...
What?
Immediately. They immediately get pregnant.
What do you think is more unbelievable? The pregnancy, HR Liz, Taylor, the whole mystery, or that she sold at her new job 200,000 books 200. In 1 week.
Of Purgatory? Of the novel Purgatory?
They come and they say, you sold 200,000 copies. Now, I just want to clarify, like, I used to think like, oh yeah, if you're a bestseller, hundreds of thousands.
That's not even the actual cover looks even worse. This is just galleys. The actual cover looks like a VHS Stephen King box. There's no 200,000 people want that book, period.
But it's E.L. James going like, me.
It's her sexual fantasy.
Yeah, it's her fantasy.
Her sexual fantasy is like she's at a publishing house and she sells 200,000 books.
When she sold 200,000 books, it's like, get the fuck out of here.
And
the two people that are trying to sell books right now, that's a fucking giant number.
It's also an E.L. James fantasy because Boyce Fox was initially like poo-pooed as somebody who wouldn't sell books, move units. Right. And she was like, he has a big online presence. The online.
It's her.
It's her.
This is ELJ.
Right. She's Boyce Fox. Wait, is it an anagram?
Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new cinnamon crunch now at a retailer near you and learn more at cap'ncrunch.com. I love Quince. Why do I love Quince? Well, maybe you should ask my 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater that I got for $50. Or maybe you want to talk to my washable silk top or some of my 14 karat jewelry. Well, you're wasting your time because they can't talk, but I can talk for them and say that Quince is the best because all their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do it? Well, they partner with the top factories. They cut out the middleman, okay? And they pass the savings on to you. I love this wool Quince hat I have, but I also love my Quince quarter zip Mongolian cashmere sweater. It is truly one of my wife's favorite outfits. And when your wife likes one of your outfits, you know that you've done right. Anyway, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bonkers for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bonkers to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's right, quince.com/bonkers. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the news? Well, you are not alone. Listen to Love It or Leave It, hosted by former Obama speechwriter and comedian John Lovett. As a former White House staffer, he is no stranger to political chaos. But don't worry, that doesn't mean he's keeping a cool head in today's chaos-filled news cycle. Far from it. It is the only show where you hear Golden Globe winner Greta Lee give award-worthy readings of listener mail and Kathy Griffin go off on all things MAGA. Hold tight to your sanity and listen to Love It or Leave It wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you guys talked about the casting of Christian Grey at all?
We talked that it was the guy from Sons of Anarchy, but that's all we kind of knew.
It was initially Charlie Hunnam was cast as Christian Grey.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember. I think they might have shot a little bit with him or something.
Well, he said that he had a 48-hour turnaround from the last day of shooting Sons of Anarchy to this character. He said he couldn't transform in 48 hours. He needed more time. Jamie Dornan had only 5 weeks to get in shape, so he's not very happy with his body in the first one. So you notice in the second two, his body's a lot better because he's very happy.
That's unbelievable. Well, if you read the book, the literature.
Sure. Yeah. From the page.
So, oh, yeah.
Christian Grey is like a massive man. He's like 6'5".
Oh, he's like Jack Reacher. Reacher.
Yeah, he's Jack Reacher. But it's...
Now I'm interested.
I'm in.
Now I'm interested. Yeah. He's Reacher, and when the cops show up, it's Bosch. Yes.
I just want to back to being a real big man.
Yeah.
I just want to know, how was this not Armie Hammer? And had it been, would he have survived the cancellation? No, I didn't say he's a great guy.
No, but you're making up.
Fucking so years sorry. Ago, before we knew he ate people, why didn't they cast him? Then they would be like, oh, he eats people. And we'd be like, we know, we saw 50 Shades. Yeah.
Can you guys not even hear Armie Hammer's name? They're just saying the name, people are like, oh. Like,
that girl no. thinks he should eat ladies.
Ah, no.
But yet this guy we like. But this guy was like.
Boy, oh boy, like Armie Hammer, like that's a horny movie. Well, that's a movie that gets it right, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
That's a movie that fucking, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm just saying pre what we knew about Armie Hammer. Yeah. I just want to know why he wasn't on the casting doc.
And by the way, if he was in these movies and then that stuff came out about him, people would have been like, of course, we've seen him in the Red Room.
Or they would, like, I think what you're saying is we would have accepted it. We would have been
It would have been like so ironic that I'm not arguing for him. I'm glad he's like in the Bahamas, like dying or whatever's happening. I'm just saying, there's an alternate world.
And Flaney, let's not have Armie Hammer come out for the surprise guest. Okay. I do want to play.
It's not Armie Hammer, it's Navy Screwdriver. Anyway,
hey.
Guys, hear me out.
That is like my. I had a.
Black it out. That's the show, everybody. Thank you very much.
I had a friend in high school whose name was Dan Gross, and everyone would go, Dan Gross? He goes, it's not gross. It's disgusting. It's a great bit. 4 years, couldn't get tired of that bit. When you were saying, what's the most ridiculous thing? Yes, selling 200,000 books is ridiculous, but I argue that this scene is the most ridiculous scene.
Am I in the right office?
You had a makeover. Mr. Roach wanted to welcome the new fiction editor.
Who's the new fiction editor?
You are. You got a promotion.
I got a promotion?
And you weren't even here.
Anna!
Hi, Hannah.
Hey.
Hi.
How do you like the new digs?
Amazing.
I'm gonna let you get settled in. And Anna, good luck. Not that you need it.
Who is that beautiful man?
Oh, that's Sawyer, my personal security. Can we find a spot for him?
I might have an opening.
Hannah!
By the way, that single line from Hannah, if you've got an Anna in the movie, don't have a Hannah. That single line and its delivery should be the tone of the whole movie.
Yes!
Hannah gets it.
But this scene...
I might have an opening. Yeah!
I have a couple things...
Quick, sharp, funny... Sexy.
No. Like, great. None of these characters can show any of those signs.
Sawyer, hotter than Jamie Dornan.
Yes.
All the leads are like, eh.
I thought that guy was Sam Agarshi, the guy who, well, I won't say.
Britney Spears' husband?
Yes.
Yeah. Sam Ashigari?
That's how I got.
You thought that's who that was?
I thought it was for a second.
Yeah. Oh, you thought it was actually him?
Yeah.
I thought you meant it looked like him.
Oh,
I get
well,
it.
What's crazy about
Anastasia Steele and Christian Grey is that they walk through a world, Seattle, the most vibrant city in America. They walk through a world that everywhere they are, whoever is there desires them to the point of self-destruction.
And they show nothing that would make you feel like, this is interesting. Like, it's not like, you know, sometimes you go to a party or you go to have a dinner. You're like, I want to know more. I want to hang out with this person. They show nothing that shows you anything of interest. Like,
yeah.
I am more interested in Hannah, who seemed to be a contemporary of Anna. And now is
well,
her.
Well, they were assistants together.
Did we ever see Hannah again?
Never again.
No.
We have seen her before.
You played that and I said, I don't even remember her.
No, they kind of get in and out of characters in this thing real quick. They don't have enough time.
She is, I believe, the only person of color in the entire trilogy.
Yes. She should have been at the wedding.
Which is shocking. Yes.
She was too busy working. I mean, this...
Hopefully she's fucking Sawyer.
This is my issue, though. This fucking scene is like my son has written the story. It's like, now you're the president. I am? When did that happen? Yesterday. And you already... everyone eats free... cake. All right, great. Let's do it. More cake. More cake, says the president. And then gets on an eagle and flies away.
And I love that when they're proofing, when their conversation where they're like, we sold 200,000 copies or whatever. J.O. Saunders is like, you did it, ha. And then she's like, you know what, though? Make the font 2 points bigger.
That's right. Right.
Like, she's just
up the font.
Tossing that off like, publishing specifics. Make the font bigger. How small is that font?
My favorite moment in it is that she goes, hey, we didn't change your email. You know, we want to change it to Anastasia Gray. And she's like, no, I'll keep it as Anastasia Steele. Okay, cool. And then beep, beep, beep. What the fuck? You don't have an email? I'm like, how did he find
it? He said, I even sent you an email and it bounced back.
Immediately.
But that means he guessed. He was like, I'm going to send my wife an email. I'm not going to use the phone. Not going to text how
it's
we normally
not a
do.
Guess.
I haven't sent
I'm
my wife guess. An email in
Chelsea,
years.
I believe it's not a guess. It's a test.
Okay, well, that would give the movie a lot of credit. He's like, she started work 30 minutes ago. Yeah. Let me type in Anastasia Gray.
It better fucking go through.
He hasn't even if she did change it, it might have bounced back. She just got the job.
She just got the promotion.
Oh, my. And by the way, what a bold move to be like, has that ever happened in real life? Someone decorates your office without any input from
and
them?
Gives you a promotion without you knowing and sends the bitchy lady to tell you?
None of so this we made movie happens. None of what happens in any of these movies happens in real life.
We made your office a nautical theme.
You're on a car chase through the streets of Seattle, I believe, to Jamiroquai. And then you get into a parking garage and fuck like it's David Cronenberg's Crash. A movie I desperately wish I'd seen instead, which is so much hornier than this movie.
This movie, anytime there's stress, anytime there's happiness, anytime there's any emotion, fucking is like that's the go-to. And I feel like that may have taken away some plot points or some drama, right? Like, I think you need people to talk about things at a certain point.
Yeah. They don't seem interested in interrogating any personal anything.
All right, let's go to you. Your name?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, what's your question?
Okay, so if Jack Hyde can break into, like, Christian Grey's office building, which has, I'm guessing, a top-notch security system because he's the most tech guy ever, and he...
Is he? He owns a blow-dry bar, and we know that, and a publishing house.
Those are the two.
Energy.
And energy stuff.
And he flies a bunch of different helicopters. And one time he was working on a MacBook that seemed to be off.
Also, okay. As a security guy, his text messages show up on his screen, no passcode.
Yes.
This
is something to think about.
Okay. But but for the purpose of this question.
Right. He's complicated. But my question is, why, if he can, like, design a bomb and trick these securities and, like, break into high whatever places, why the fuck is he a publishing editor? Why not become a master spy?
Where did he get all these skills? He's able to dupe a key card. He has the hacking equipment to set a bomb in the server room. By the way, I want to watch a movie about Jack is the most interesting character in this trilogy.
Jack.
Full stop. Justice for Jack.
Well,
justice for Jack. I don't care about these rich fucks. Yeah.
But here's my question about Jack. Jack already did the most insane thing, which was plant a bomb on Christian's helicopter, which they just kind of say in the past. He's like, oh, by the way, they did tell me there was a bomb on there. Anyway,
So the movie only exists because withholding information is integral to their relationship.
But I mean, but when he goes to the server room, I didn't understand why stop there. Like what? Like it just seemed like he just upset the servers. It didn't seem like anything.
No, I think it was so he could steal files without being
files
without
for,
it being.
For
but that, of what?
Of what? Good books to publish.
Yeah, I don't. That I don't know. But
yeah, because it's like not like I was expecting. I was expecting him to go like in the paper, we would see all those NDAs that he's made these women sign that we've set up, and then it gets like released. Oh, he's like this guy. This
something he could blackmail them with. So, like he's a blackmailer in the story.
Right.
We find out and so forth.
But nothing seems to come.
Well,
of
the
it.
Movie isn't interested in building any plot. I'm sure it's in the books, and someone will correct us and tell us exactly why. But the movies aren't interested in building out the thriller element of it. They just want to have a couple of thrilling set pieces.
Right.
They don't want to actually be like, here's the why of
it's
this.
It's every element in a thriller without any of the payoff or setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, we need a car chase. Ooh, yeah, someone should get shot.
Wait,
oh, and maybe the twist. Oh, yeah, it's the HR person. Ooh, we never would have thought that.
Now, hang on a second. I feel like maybe we should have a scene where we see Jack and understand what his motivation is. No, sorry. Just a scene where Christian Grey plays Baby I'm Amazed.
Yeah, the piano,
We're going to put that in instead of the plot stuff. Just because sexy.
But also, that was pretty hot.
That was the hottest. He's playing the piano. He's like, baby, I'm amazed. I was like, yes. Yes.
Also,
yes, play piano on my pussy.
I can't top that.
Tickle the ivories.
That was the most action. Him doing the piano, I was like, oh, maybe he can fuck.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't know.
Yes, your name, your question. Hi.
Hi, Alyssa. Just for the audience, ladies, you announce your pregnancy. Granted, you forgot to take your birth control. But your man leaves, gets drunk with his pedophile rapist, comes home hammered, hits on you, and we're going to forgive him and just keep on trudging on? We're not going to talk about this? We're not going to talk about this.
They never talk about anything.
Well,
I'm surprised. Like that definitely felt like they needed to go on another glider ride, because whenever they do anything that is like that upsetting, they need to go up in the air. They need to go on another helicopter.
If only couples therapy existed in the world of these movies.
Yeah. Well, also, she gets mad. She's like, how dare you go be with Elaine or whatever, Kim Basinger, right?
Yeah.
And then she gets kicked and she's in the hospital and she wakes up and he's like, I want to marry you. And she's like, that's tight. We're done here. And I was like, so you were, that was that only the only thing you wanted? You were never mad at Elena. You just wanted him to marry, but he already married you. And like, do you know what I mean?
She's like, yes. Well, the scene that is to me one of the most insane is the scene in the closet where she's getting dressed. She's in her underwear. She puts on all
That's
of her
right.
undergarments, then her boots. I felt like they did that because this was the only scene in which they were talking about their interior emotional states.
Right.
And E.L. James must have been like, this is boring. So during this, she's getting dressed, but never puts on enough clothes. So she
and now
just,
she can't put pants on. Her shoes are on.
She just puts on underwear and then, I guess, boots to fill up the rest of the time. And that's the scene. And it's insane.
I also will say that one of the saddest things I saw in this movie was her storming out of the bedroom and then taking a blanket into the playroom and sleeping on like one of those fuck couches.
In the red room?
Yeah.
Then we know they have a guest bedroom. That was established in the first movie.
They have 10 guest bedrooms.
Oh, yeah. Go to the guest bedroom.
Why
you don't
have
to sleep on the fuck couch.
Why did she want to go to the red room?
It also seems like the red room would remind you of things that you don't want to be reminded of.
This is a movie or a series of stories that are not interested in real growth in any meaningful way.
Yeah, Christian
it's
Grey's
all about
not changed.
Like, don't look in that closet. Don't look in that room. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, both mentally and
But you know, I'd be okay with that if they're like, we're not going to do any real growth. Because again, it's a sexy movie. The demo is women. Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is an important point to me and I just to everyone out here. It's four women, okay? Sexy, sexy movie.
Four women by women.
Four women by E.L. James.
Four women by woman.
By woman. By woman. We see Dakota Johnson's boobs a million times. No dick.
No.
No dick? We riot tonight!
In the first movie, you see like almost the top of his
the
dick.
The little V.
Like the dick neck. You know, you see just the neck where it connects to the
well,
the pelvis.
I think that this is the issue, truthfully. Basically, when...
CGI?
When
somebody
when,
just said CGI? Put
okay,
the dick in.
Sure.
Yeah, put the dick in. Put
VFX,
the dick in.
Let's get in the volume. Let's put dicks in this thing.
Jamie Dornan, when they were shooting the first movie, said, I will not do full frontal. And that caused a lot of uproar with the fans.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that when Charlie Hunnam dropped out, they probably had a hard time finding a guy to do full frontal.
So I will say, when Charlie Hunnam dropped out, I connected with the producers and said, I will show my dick in this movie.
Yeah.
And they were like, please, no. We're not interested. Here's my question. Paul, if you don't mind, and I know that sometimes you ask the question askers to provide a this or a that. I would like for the people to suggest an actual movie that is horny for them.
Oh,
a la 9.5 Weeks or Angel Heart or whatever is a set.
Angel Heart?
But can I just say right now, Saltburn, the last 3 minutes, a full dick dance.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like...
Oh, yeah. Murder on the dance floor. Murder on the dance floor.
More than 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite thing about Saltburn is that
Barry Keoghan said, like, there's that scene at the gravesite, and he goes, yeah, that wasn't in the script. I said I had an idea and I wanted to do this. And no one knew.
I wanted to fuck the grave.
If you don't want to say what movie you think is sexy, you can also
say... No, say it.
You can also talk about your favorite part of Saltburn.
Okay. All right, fair. All right, fair.
Here we go. Hi, what's your name?
David.
David, what's a movie that you think is sexy?
Two Moon Junction.
I was going to say Two Moon.
Home Run movie.
Yeah. All right, so... what's your question?
I've never heard of this. I got to write
it. Is it Sherilyn Fenn?
Sherilyn Fenn.
So I watch with the captions on, like Jason says to do, and I noticed that all the music cues...
By the way, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your service.
The music is always like just describing literally what they're doing. Like, we're going to go up, 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 and they like get on a plane. And so at the end, the music says, I can't think straight. And then he says... You're topping from the bottom, Mrs. Gray, which topping and bottoming in the gay world means something very specific, which they are not doing. So I was wondering what do you think topping from the bottom means?
Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like the sentiment of what he's saying is you are doming from the sub.
Right.
Right? Is that right?
Because she's...
But yeah, those are words that he could have used.
Come in. She's calling the session. She's saying yes.
I see.
She's making him do a thing,
I thought from episode one. I thought this is what was going to happen, but we never really fully get there. Like, we get close to it, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he could have just said we're doming the sub, not we're topping the bottom. Yeah. But yeah, it's weird to interchange those words that are so prominent in these three films. Like, it seems like that's the word that you would go back to. But that's a good question. Here we go. All right, what's your question? What's your name? What's your sexy movie?
My name's Jason.
Sexy movie. Cool dude.
Showgirls. And then, I didn't read the book.
Wait, with Naomi Malone?
Sorry. I didn't read the book, but I read the wiki, and Jack was bailed out by Kim Basinger's ex-husband, who was jealous of the affair that she had had with Christian, and his revenge was years later, when he was in his late 20s, he paid the $500,000 to bail out Jack.
Wait, whoa. This is a pitch or this is real?
Hold on.
That's amazing. So in the book, Fifty Shades Freed, the way that Jack Hyde gets out of jail is that Kim Basinger's husband, who is jealous of Kim... ex-husband, who is jealous that Christian Grey...
This is great. Why is that not in the movie?
It should be in the movie. That's a good...
It is?
Oh, it is? Wait, hold on. How is it?
It's like a throwaway line when they show Kim Basinger at the end. Okay. On the newscast, they mention it really briefly.
They do?
Yeah.
How did I miss this?
How did I miss it? I wasn't paying attention to the newscast.
Maybe it was the unrated one.
I must have been.
Maybe it was the unrated. Oh, yeah. Because did you watch a version?
Oh, it's only in the unrated.
Did you watch a version where Kim Basinger is in it?
Okay. 2 seconds.
Okay, yes. Okay, that is the one they cut her out.
For a minute, I was like, how did I miss it?
But just to be clear, the unrated version is like, we're going to add a newscast.
Yeah.
The unrated one is like, it's not like, we will answer a question.
It's not like you can see an uncut dick.
It's just like.
Are you ready for your song? Yeah, come on up. You know the drill.
By the way, those are all great questions and much better sexy, horny movies.
Yes, yes.
Well, obviously we had opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
If I was your husband, would you let me pay you? Buy a place of work and fire your boss for being a man. Hey, a really gross man. I take your best friends on vacation. Take care of you. Let you hang with them for fun when only I can. Hey, when only I can. If I was your husband, could I buy you a dream house? Also buy you a car and a wardrobe for when we go out. Not that you're helpless, but sometimes, those are the things that financial control's about. Would you let me braid your hair? Can I call you mommy sometimes? Or can we go to the playroom? Or maybe we could just go to a movie and rate it together. Because to me, baby, that would be 5 stars.
Yeah.
Amazing. Give it up for Jen.
Yes. Great job, Jen. Show it to them. Yes.
Give it up for Jen.
Yes. That's how it's done.
All right, these are 5-star reviews from Amazon. Now, here's the interesting thing. First movie, 70,000 reviews. Second movie, 40,000 reviews. Third movie, 20,000 reviews. 86 of these reviews are 5-star reviews. 86%. Sorry. Oh. 80. So sorry. 86% are 5-star reviews. And here we go. We'll start off with KB. KB titles their review, Hot. This movie is just plain sexy. The only part about it is the pregnancy thing. I could have done without that. He's a billionaire. If he wanted kids, he would have had them already. I loved that his reaction to that news was so realistic and what he said was spot on. If I were him, I'd be totally PO'd as well. It ruins the fantasy. Can't we just have one movie about young, beautiful, fabulously wealthy people without it being ruined by children? Even Sex in the City wasn't safe. Thanks, Steve and Miranda, but whatever.
Miranda.
Other than the pregnancy part,
yeah,
it was lovely. 5 stars. Now, this one by Jan was a little surprising. Jan titled it, Loved It, But We Would Love It So Much More. I loved the unrated version. They should have had that version in the theaters. Now, here's the thing I wish they would do as an anniversary for 50 Shades. I would love for them to have all the deleted scenes added to the unrated versions of the movies. I did a poll, and over 250 people have said they would buy it completed like that. I hate having to see the deleted scenes as extras. If they were just added to the movie, it would flow so much better. Plus, I'm sure there are some scenes that were never even used for deletions that were just extra and put away. So come on, Universal. We would like an uncut, unrated version of the movies with all the deleted scenes that were added to the movie to run straight through them. 5 stars.
Yeah. By the way, if they were smart, they would be marketing uncut versions. If they were smart, they would be unrated. Fuck you.
Alan T. writes, good love story for love with a certain twist. It was enjoyable to watch. Would recommend you to watch it with a lover. I always hear of women getting charged up big time watching any of these three movies.
Ew. I don't like the way you're saying any of this.
Charged it's one thing. Up.
I don't like that this has been written, but I definitely don't like your interpretation.
5 stars.
That's chilling.
Now, we've been hitting 1-star reviews as well. And this is the one that I really enjoyed from an Amazon customer. Couldn't even put down their name. First, you had no directions on how to hook this DVD to your cable TV.
Who is the you in that sentence?
I think
Who's
Amazon.
You?
I think Amazon. Then.
What's shocking is that this is. Oh, wait, go ahead. Sorry.
First, you had no directions on how to hook this DVD to your cable TV. Then, when I saw on the computer this in your face movie, all in caps, I just simply put it in the garbage. If someone wants to know about sex, well, there's lots and lots of books and more tasteful ones like The Joy of Sex and The Kuma Satra. As a SAG actor.
Oh.
Twist!
I really deplore this so-called movie. I can't tell you with all the publicity how abhorrent this movie was to me. God, what audacity to make, all in capital, this so-called movie. To me personally, as a SAG actor, my standards are high, and it pains me that it's happening in this industry. One star. I simply put it in the garbage.
Oh, my God. A bigger twist than H.R. Liz is that they were a SAG actor.
Wow. Holy
shit. And they're trying to connect DVDs to cable players.
As a SAG actor, I don't know how to hook this up.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. But I do want to have our final opinion before we get into our final opinions given by June Diane Raphael. June, who is sick, refused to be on camera. We did not have a masquerade mask, but we do have this clip, and we have a special guest here, too. So let's just see if this will work.
You know, the thing that I was most resentful of is the last shot of the third movie. She's sitting reading a book, and he walks over with their son, who's like a toddler. And then as the camera sort of pans out, you realize she's also very pregnant, their second child. And I'm watching, and I felt so mad because I'm like, I don't care how rich you are. No mom of a like 15-month-old boy and pregnant has time to read a book.
No, I thought you were going to say then he says, come to my playroom and like straps her down onto one of his torture devices. Okay.
No, I would have preferred that. I found this to be
That's
so
the most offensive.
Really offensive. Everything else I was getting.
He puts her in a dog collar.
I don't care. I was like, straps great. Her down. Respectful. Respectful. Portrayal of women. Respectful portrayal of women.
Wrinkles. And yet
seeing
this
her
one.
With that book, I was like, don't disrespect us.
That's crazy. What a crazy take. I'm so sad that the people won't hear this hot take.
Don't disrespect us like that.
So that is June's hot take.
With Jessica St. Clair.
With Jessica St. Clair, who has not seen the movie. And today did ask me sincerely what Riz was. And I refused to tell her. Little does she know it's just an internet search away, but...
Yep. One of the things that I wrote, which I do wish had come true, is at a certain point, I think maybe when they were in Aspen or whatever, somehow something unfolded that I said, oh, is this whole movie basic, or this whole series of movies for Anastasia Steele... a The Game situation? I felt like Jack and Liz from HR and Hannah and everybody were kind of coming and be like, ha ha, we're all actors. We're SAG actors. This whole thing has been a game for you put on by your friend Kate. Huzzah! That's the only way this movie makes any sense.
I got an elaborate graduation present from her absentee mom.
Imagine you are Jack. And you realize your assistant's boyfriend is the guy that stole your life? That's fucking bananas. The coincidences in this movie, in this series, are absolute insanity.
I mean, the way that they open up an envelope at the end, she's like, oh, what's that envelope? He's like, all this evidence and all the plot. She's like, oh, let me open it up.
All the pages we didn't shoot. It's script pages from scenes we didn't shoot.
Says here that Jack's going to be okay, but they got some evidence on him. Oh, here's a picture. Wait, hold on. What's that picture? That's me. That's him. I guess we're in the same foster home. All right, well.
And then she's like, you can't cook. And he's like, I guess we're going out for dinner. And it's like, dun, 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 dun. Whoop-boom. Like, give me a fucking break. You don't get to do that movie.
It's so oddly unfulfilling that as he is tossing the pasta that he's made, he's like over his shoulder going, oh, now it all makes sense. And that he could keep that envelope closed for so long. If someone passed me an envelope, like, hey, this is why this person tried to abduct your wife and tried to kill you, I would open that envelope right away. Yeah. It wouldn't be like an after-dinner envelope. Like, Well, I'll crack into that later.
I didn't crack into any of the extra scenes, deleted scenes, any of that. I didn't watch the unrated version. I keep forgetting to. Thank God I didn't. It would have been
the
longer.
The deleted scenes, there's a giant scene of Rita Ora playing chess on the airplane. Just her, just chess champ.
Really? Amazing. I think there might have been a deleted scene where they're all having breakfast in Aspen at the table, and the brother is like, how come the table smells like rancid milk and swamp ass? If I walk in to a communal breakfast table and somebody's like, we fucked on this last night, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want that. I don't want fucking sweaty ass on the table where we eat breakfast.
There is
get
one,
him out of town.
There's a movie called Going the Distance with Justin Long and Drew Barrymore, and they fuck on a table, and then the next day they're eating like Thanksgiving on it, and they're all disgusted by it. It's one of my favorite scenes because it's like two people know that it's all disgusting, and then like turkey legs are falling off on it, and they're like, ah. It's like... we need a little bit more comedy in these.
I was very bummed out by this movie. I thought it was going to get sexier. And I just watched it and I was like, he's emotionally abusive. He's financially abusive. He's almost physically abusive. He doesn't show his dick. He's not good at sex. He uses a tiny vibrator. The wedding was ugly. He's not funny. He's not charming. He did give her a publishing job. I liked that.
Yes.
And at the end of it, I was like, this fucking sucks. And then she goes in for that last montage that you talked about. And he is, for the final montage where she goes through their whole relationship, he's doing a Pilates pose where it's just his arms holding his whole body up. He's like levitating, uses just as his arms, and she looks at him and thinks through their entire fucking relationship. And then he's still holding the pose.
It's all and I was scenes like, this from is, the movie.
Yeah, these all scenes all from the movie. Yeah.
Like as if it's a recap of the trilogy of movies that you have loved.
As if it's like what they did at the end of the Fast movies when you know they're kind of sending off their characters. Okay, yeah. But like I'm like, and it felt like they were like,
we
and
know that's the he end. Died.
Yeah.
But I was like, are these characters dead?
Yeah, like, are they dead?
Yeah. I can't hear that. Paul Walker's dead. Pablo's dead. Vin.
That is sad.
Here it is.
She thinks through three movies of a relationship, and he's still holding the pose.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. That's pretty hard to do.
In my mind, as she rethinks, as she remembers all of these things, she should be like, oh, wait a minute. I got to get out of here.
Wait.
Right. This is a bad relationship.
I've been tricked.
Oh, my God. I'm 20 years old. I should just leave.
I am a prisoner.
What is also funny about this is, like, oftentimes, like, montages like this are shown, like, to, like, oh, my gosh, look how they've grown. The amount of time has passed. 3 weeks have passed. Yeah. They're interchangeable scenes because you're like, that scene, movie one, I think they're shooting movie. They're showing scenes from this movie in the montage of their relationship.
What's insane is that both she and Kate, the college roommates, both graduate, get jobs, and marry billionaire brothers in the course of 6 weeks. That's nuts.
Okay, so this movie is for women.
Holy shit.
I think,
a fucking mess.
I think that, like, there's been a, like, you know, I think that people look at this movie in a way that is unfair because they judge it as being like, oh, it's just, like, sex and it's this and it's just gross. It's so much more. It's just really terrible movies.
Yeah.
And I feel like people don't highlight that enough. It's like we don't talk about, like, there's choices here that make no sense. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, like, just gratuitous sex.
Which would have been awesome.
I was hoping
to
for that.
To be clear, I would have been like, yes, make more of this. Maddie, my two, all sex? Yes.
I was nervous to do these movies. Like, it's just going to be us talking about sex. Like, no. That is,
no, you're talking about espionage, actually.
Take me to Pound Town. That's what I'm interested in. That's not in this.
No.
This was 3 nights where I was like, well, maybe I'll finally go, oh boy, it's so boring.
And each movie gets darker and darker, so you're seeing less and less.
Yeah. And one of the handcuffs, just to say, one of the handcuff scenes, he handcuffs her wrist to her ankle, and then her wrist to her ankle, and it's like, so it's still missionary.
Yeah. It's like, never not what? Missionary. Kim Basinger did a shit job teaching him how to fuck. The set decorators had such a blast building the Red Room. It is decadent and enormous and has every sex toy in the world. They use like two items and just fuck missionary. That's it.
There are more interesting things up and displayed, but he's always like, go in the top drawer, left one, get the smallest thing out of there, bring it over to me.
It's like in the movie last night, he brings out nipple clamps, but demonstrates them on her finger only.
No.
That in microcosm is what this movie series is about sex. Here's the thing, it's outrageous if you think about it, if you've never been exposed to it, but it goes, well, I'll just do it on your finger. It's okay.
So that's it. We have done it, Jason, Chelsea. We have done all three movies. Thank you to our audience. Thank you to everybody who's come here all three nights.
Chelsea, I mean, everyone who's come here.
Yes, everyone has come.
How many people came three nights? Raise your hands. Whoa. Oh, man, the front rows are really representing.
We're going to let you take a picture in a second. But, Chelsea, tell everybody about your book so we can make our... I don't have a picture of it. Sorry, I'm queuing up something else.
All looking at the screen like, let's go.
But, yeah.
Yes, would love to tell you about my book. If you like crazy sex scenes, read a different book.
Yeah.
Not in mine. In my book, I date a magician who was an improviser. Yikes.
Wait. Now, one of those things is not cool and one is cool?
Yeah.
What about an over 50-year-old improviser?
Okay, back in business. No,
middle-aged man still
middle-aged
yes,
man. Yeah, no, I wrote a comedy gal memoir, and that also has some sad parts in it. And if you like stuff like that, get my book. It's called I Shouldn't Be Telling You This. And I just want to clarify, if you sell 500 books, they would be like, that's a good book. And just to remind you, she sold 200,000.
Yeah, 200,000.
Can I ask that you
is,
a question?
That is like, yeah, that's Harry Potter level.
Chelsea,
for a political thriller parodying Dante's Inferno.
Week one.
Yeah.
Is your book out now?
My book is not out now. Thank
so
you, Kate.
Pre-order the book.
Pre-order
that matters.
My book. If you pre-order my in the name of not seeing Jamie Dornan's dick, pre-order my book. Give
and
money
then,
to women
and
authors.
Paul's book.
And my book has a picture of Jamie Dornan's dick. So you put it together, or there's like both pictures. You have to put both books together like Voltron, and you finally see his full dick and balls.
But as you leave tonight. And you're waiting for your car to come, or you're at the bar afterwards, fire up Amazon or go
it's
to
so
an independent bookseller of your
Barnes
choice.
Barnes & Noble, anything.
Pre-order both of these books because pre-orders mean so much.
So much. Yeah. It's so crazy. And you have a podcast called Glamorous Trash, right?
Yeah, where we read celebrity memoirs. We talk pop culture. We just did Barbara Streisand's, which is, you know, it's a 900-page book. My favorite part of her book, and this is going to be a little spoiler alert for you, is in the beginning, she's like, I met Warren Beatty when I was 16, and he was a nice guy, nothing happened. Page 900, that is 48 hours later. I guess I did fuck Warren Beatty. Oh, okay.
And she spends a lot of the time in the beginning going, all these men make up all these stories that I fucked them. I didn't fuck any of them. I remember everybody that I fucked.
Yes! I did fuck him. Yes.
It's as if the 48-hour record, she was like, wait a second. Yeah.
It's almost like she just got so tired recording the audiobook that she just was like, just saying truths.
She's like, whatever. And the editor who was like, she said no, and then she said yes, went, leave it in. Leave it in. To print. Anyways, so if you want to hear us talk about that for an hour and a half, we'll give you all the highlights.
I cannot wait. It's so good. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming out. What a great week. What a great time. Thank you. We'll be back here. And you can catch Jason and I next month here at Dinosaur, February 23rd. Thank you so much. Bye. Good night.
What a show. Thank you so much to Chelsea Devantes for helping us close out our 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. And a huge thank you, as always, to the wonderful staff at Largo. I am talking about Alec up in the booth, Michael Griffey Flanny, and everyone else who makes our shows run so damn smooth. Now, if you want to feel like you are a part of the live audience at the 50 Shades Freed live show. Well, you can buy yourself a shirt. It's the same shirt we designed for the other two episodes. It's Christian Gray's nonsensical company. The shirt says Gray Enterprises, colon, business, telecommunications, independent publishing, blow dry bars, and charity. And you can buy this shirt and more at tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. If you have a correction and omission for this episode, please leave a message on our Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM or leave me a voicemail at 619-PAUL-ASK or leave me and Jason a voicemail and ask us for help at that same number. Then make sure you tune in next week to our Last Looks follow-up episode for 50 Shades Freed to hear me respond to your messages. And we'll also be going back to talk about Ronald the Barbarian, so you still have time to submit your Ronald comments as well. People, a month away from my book release, that's right. Chelsea and I, back-to-back books. I'm coming out in May. She's coming out in June. But here's the best part. You can pre-order them now. Head to my website. You'll see where I'm touring. Dinosaur is going to be in Chicago. We're also going to be in Seattle. We're also going to be in Portland. I'm also going to be back in Chicago doing a book thing. I'm going to be in New York doing a book thing. I'm going to be in Canada and Toronto doing a book thing. I have so much book stuff coming. But don't let that stop you from buying the book. Buy the book now. Go at any retailer at all. Local, big box, online, whatever you do. And make sure you sign up for exclusive access to my pre-order area of my website where you see videos and pictures that no one else will see. People, that's all I got. Remember, you can find us everywhere at HDTGM or visit us at HDTGM.com. If you love the show, tell your friends to listen to it too. Seriously, honestly, word of mouth is the best mover of this pod. And you know what? It's a lot more fun arguing about bad movies with a buddy. And last but not least, I gotta say thank you to all your listeners who support this show every week and our entire team who this show couldn't be done without. I'm talking about our producer, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, our movie picking producer, Avril Haley, our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia, and our associate producer, Jess Cisneros. That's all I got, people. We will see you next week. Until then, bye for now.
Hi there, this is Mary Holland. You may know me from Happiest Season, or Veep, or The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window. Or you may know me as Janice Cramps. Huh? I want to wish Comedy Bang Bang a happy 15th anniversary. Wow, 15 years old. Comedy Bang Bang is about to get its driver's permit. I'm so excited for it. And I'm, you know, really grateful because Comedy Bang Bang has brought me so much joy as a listener and a performer. And I'm just very grateful for this community that we have in Comedy Bang Bang. You can hear me and a lot of other very funny people on Comedy Bang Bang wherever you get your podcasts. So what are you waiting for? Tune in.